How do we keep teenagers connected to the church after confirmation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Teaching the Faith at Home. What does this mean? How is this done? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Teaching the Faith at Home costs $15.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Teaching the Faith at Home.
I'm a Baptist, and I'm going to get into a little bit of biblical philosophy on my part right now. I think what the New Testament teaches us is that Jesus reached out to those who were considered the outcasts. I hope that we can all just take a deep breath, recognize that the world is changing around us, and recognize that it is important that we protect fundamental religious beliefs, but we don't have to discriminate against other people in order to do that. And that's the compromise that I'm looking for.
That's Georgia Governor Nathan Deal speaking to WSB-TV in Atlanta against a religious liberty bill in his state. What definition of religious liberty is the governor operating with? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, March the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be answering that question, among others, as we talk about the theological case being made by Georgia Governor Nathan Deal against a religious liberty bill in his state. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. Now, be sure to contact us for the second hour of the program. We're going to be giving away a $40 gift certificate to AMC Theaters as we begin the second hour, giving this away to the best listener with the best question or comment on the movie Risen as we review that movie, part two, with Pastor Ted Giese. In the meantime, we'll be talking with Pastor James Douthwaite about the resurrection of the believer. And then, after our review of the movie Risen with Pastor Ted Giese, top three verses, our series continues, The Devil's Destruction at the Cross. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. You can go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Leave your question or comment for that review of the movie Risen with Pastor Ted Giese. Again, your opportunity to win a $40 gift certificate to AMC Theaters if you have the best question or comment. facebook.com/issuesetc. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the theological case being made by Georgia Governor Nathan Deal against a religious liberty bill in his state, Dr. Peter Scare, a regular guest, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be with you, Todd.
As far as you can tell from his public statements, what is Governor Nathan Deal's definition of religious liberty?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at Governor Deal, this has become a very kind of common argument that he's making concerning religious liberty, that we're not threatened by the advance of SOGI laws, by the advance of the LGBTQ agenda. But his definition of religious liberty, I think, is one of private religion. And I think this is the kind of definition used by, for instance, our current president talks now often about Americans have the freedom to worship. And by that he means, I think, that Christians have religious freedom within their hearts, I think, and within their minds, and maybe within the walls of the churches. But that religious liberty does not extend to our public life, to our life in our businesses, in our commerce, and in the public square.
One of the things that Nathan Deal had to say in trying to make his biblical case, so to speak, against religious liberty, in effect, he said this: "We have a belief in forgiveness, and that we do not have to discriminate unduly against anyone on the basis of our own religious beliefs. We are not jeopardized, in my opinion, by those who believe differently from us. We are not, in my opinion, put in jeopardy by virtue of those who might hold different beliefs, who may not even agree with what our Supreme Court has said is the law of the land on the issue of same-sex marriage." First of all, I guess I got to wonder, what, from a governor's standpoint, does Christian forgiveness have to do with religious liberty?
I don't think it's to do very much. I think it's kind of a very patronizing statement by the governor. And I think this is a card that's often played by those who wish to get away from the biblical truth, is they will in some ways say that forgiveness and love trumps truth. And I think in some ways he's being evasive. What's motivating the governors, but I think what motivates a number of our leaders today is this article that I'm reading about the governor. It says, amid a growing outcry from powerful corporations. And I think in the end, really, that's the religion that is being followed here. We cannot serve God and mammon. And I think money is behind a lot of what's going on in our government today. And I think there's also a fundamental misunderstanding. We need to come to grips with how marriage and religious liberty are intertwined. And one of the things that I don't think the governor understands is that marriage is not simply a private institution, but it's a public one, and it has implications not simply for the couple, but for our society. And that the reason we have marriage in the first place is because it does have an effect on our society, because the reason we have marriage is that children are born from the one union of a male and female, and our society will function the best if, as often as possible, we can ensure that that mother and father, biological mother and father, will be a true mom and dad for that kid for the rest of their life. So we have a stake in this as a society, and it's not simply a personal moral qualm that we believe in marriage, not simply religiously, but also, of course, religiously, because we believe kids deserve the best chance at a great future. So these are fundamental kind of things that we should be talking about, and I think the governor simply wants to sweep them under the rug because he doesn't want to have to deal with these uncomfortable facts.
You have witnessed this and interacted with a similar situation in your own state of Indiana. Tell us about that.
Yeah, in Indiana, we have a lot of, I think, very good-meaning legislators, and this happened now it seems like ages ago, just a couple of years ago, when we passed a Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the RFRA, and it was passed by large majorities, and then in came big business, in came, we're suffering from a kind of cronyism. Some people call it crony capitalism, but now the new term, I think, is cultural cronyism, in which big money is coming in and dictating the policies and the mores of our community. And they do it through a kind of, I guess, an intimidation and through threats. And they came into Indiana, and I think so many of our legislators were spooked, and our governor was too. And I think he went against his better instincts. And our RFRA bill, our religious freedom bill, was watered down to the point where it's now worse than it was before. And they're still trying to, even though we have Republicans in our state, they are now pushing, in fact, SOGI laws. Happily, they did not go, but sexual orientation and gender identity laws. And these are disastrous for Christians. What it does is, and I think we need to come to grips with this, is what these laws end up doing is turn Christians into public bigots. That is to say, the governor now looks upon this discrimination, let's say, and this we saw, by the way, with John Kasich, and maybe he's come around with this, the presidential candidate. He said, as Christians, of course we should bake cakes for anyone. We should not discriminate against anyone, but that's not the issue. The issue is whether we as Christians can, in our good conscience, participate in events which we know are, in fact, sinful. Can we celebrate those things? So as a T-shirt maker, could I, say, design a T-shirt that would celebrate, let's say, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and saying, thank God for Roe v. Wade, could I make a T-shirt that celebrates Planned Parenthood and the killing of many babies? I could not do that. I could not use my artistic talents as a T-shirt maker to do that. And this is the situation that we put our bakers and florists in, too. Like Baronelle Stutzman's a designer of, these people do cake decorations, they do floral decorations, and they do them in such a way to celebrate, and I don't think people understand this, to celebrate the individual couples and their weddings. And now they are being fined and being driven out of business. This is not benign at all. This is not about tolerance. It's about forcing people, and often small businesses, to act against their consciences.
So I guess what I'm wondering here is, if this were the case of, say, any other group that are considered more fringe than the now respectable LGBTQ activists, if this were polygamists who came to a Christian baker and in a Mormon town, so to speak, and said, we want you to bake our wedding cake, and by that I need a groom and three brides on top, and this is going to be a polygamous marriage. Do you think there'd be the kind of outrage if the baker said, take your business elsewhere?
Well, I think that, I mean, that's a great point, and the same kind of point is made. Is this sort of thing happening to Muslim bakers or Muslim florists? And I don't think that it is. I think one of the things we have to show, though, to the people is that our belief in marriage is it does have a kind of rationale to it. Not only is it embedded within our Christian scriptures, and we are following our Lord's teaching as we uphold our convictions, but these things are also based in natural law, so that you might disagree with my point of view, but my point of view is in fact a loving one. It's in fact a caring one, that we want what's best for people, so we can have these kinds of disagreements. But why does tolerance mean, or how is tolerance furthered by fining people, by putting people in jail, by running them out of business? And this is what's happening, and really, it's an example here of where the rich and the powerful are ruling, because there's a lot of money in politics, and I don't know who he's afraid of there in Georgia. My guess is corporations like Coca-Cola and things like that, if I had to guess, who are pushing this agenda on him. But I think we need to stand up for the little guy, because they're often the ones that are being hurt, and these are the smallest of businesses. Again, these are people of kindness and conscience. The other part of this is too is we don't have to agree with everybody's conscience who is holding up somebody. We don't have to agree that for their rationale, but we simply should honor their conscience, because that's how conversation continues. That's how we continue to have a civil society. This simply is tilting the game in favor of the LGBT and against Christians and people of conscience.
Dr. Peter Scare is our guest on this Monday, March the 7th. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the free exercise terminology. We're discussing a theological case made by Georgia Governor Nathan Deal against a religious liberty bill in his state.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
You've enjoyed our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning interviews with Pastor David Peterson. Did you know that there's a book with more than 60 of his Lent and Easter sermons, including daily readings for all of Lent? It's called Thy Kingdom Come. Find out more and purchase it online at emmanuelpress.us. Make Thy Kingdom Come part of your devotional life during the Lenten and Easter seasons. EmmanuelPress.us. Thy Kingdom Come by Pastor David Peterson.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Peter Scarer is our guest. We're talking about a theological case being made by Georgia Governor Nathan Deal against a religious liberty bill there in Georgia. Dr. Scarer, I'm curious about the terminology that we use here. I'm increasingly convinced that terms like religious liberty, religious freedom, while they served well in the past, don't do so much with the changing definitions of today. Better to use free exercise as the Constitution does. Why do you think it's important that we keep that constitutional terminology while we advocate for our religious liberty?
Well, I think, you know, this is important when you say advocating publicly, because the free exercise of religion brings us into the marketplace of ideas and of commerce. So that religious freedom as it's being defined is simply within our own minds. It's being privatized. But this is tied very closely to the other First Amendment rights, which include the freedom of speech and the freedom of press, is that we are entering into a dangerous place in our society where certain ideas are considered to be off limits. And I fear for a world in which my own children, as I teach them what marriage is, that they will be labeled and they will be ostracized. And this is, that's why I say this kind of talk about love. There's no love here for the governor, at least not for those who have differing opinions, who want to act according to those. And I think what we need to do is work towards accommodation, is that there are ways in our society where we can accommodate, let's say, a Kim Davis, who is a clerk in Kentucky. We can accommodate in ways that I think that we can continue the conversation. But the way it's going now is the toleration is becoming coercion, and the Christians are being driven out of the public square. And this is going to have ramifications. It's already having ramifications in every kind of – and it's not just the little guys. The CEO of Mozilla Firefox was hounded out of his job simply because he supported a marriage amendment. Now, is that no longer possible that we can have this kind of civil conversation? This is the kind of opinion that can destroy people's careers, and it's not the kind of thing I think that will be helpful, because, as you say, polygamy, there's no real once you say that gay marriage is fine, really it's hard to argue against any kind of marriage. And I think what we need to do is we need to have the kind of society where we can discuss not simply who has the right to be married, but we need to have the kind of society where we can say, what is marriage? And then also to say, you know, when you look at this baker and when you look at the florist, there are a heck of a lot of other bakers who would bake a cake for you. And again, this is a wedding cake. There are a heck of a lot of other florists. Why does your freedom mean that you must coerce and hound me out of business? And that's where it really becomes, talk about forgiveness. This is where the movement is especially mean-spirited towards people who simply disagree, but disagree in love.
I want to talk briefly about the corporate angle. You mentioned Brandon Eich, formerly of Mozilla, and then, of course, the pressure that was brought to bear in Indiana by all sorts of corporations saying, in effect, to the voters of Indiana, your vote doesn't count when it comes to RFRA. What counts is our financial influence over your leaders, over those who govern you. And I wonder if they're also under a certain amount of pressure. They have very well-paid lawyers who are paid to think ahead and say, look, we could be put out of business by coercive laws with regard to non-discrimination, so we have to think 10 years ahead and act accordingly, whether or not just in pursuit of their bottom line and protecting themselves legally, they're applying this pressure to
That's a
states.
Great point. And there is a thing called, it's called informally the LGBT mafia, because it can be quite frightening when these groups come in with their demands. I know in our own state, besides the great corporations, the people that have been pushing our SOGI laws, our sexual orientation and gender identity laws, have been the Chamber of Commerce. And I do think that they also are under pressure. But, you know, this is what I would urge all Christians to do now is you don't have to agree with somebody to assert their right to live according to their belief. You have to ask yourself, where's the real harm coming? And I think the greater harm, whatever side you might be on this issue, and I would love to talk to you about it, but I think the greater harm that's going to come to our society is from the stifling of free speech, from the stifling of different opinions. Because when that goes, when we lose that, I think then we go into scary territory. Then we go into authoritarianism. I think we go into totalitarianism. There's a reason why, when you look at the First Amendment, it's freedom of press, freedom of speech, and also religious liberty, the free exercise of religion. They go together, and they were principles upon which our nation was founded. And they're the kind of principles, though, that allow us on this radio show to have these kinds of conversations.
So let's say that the governor manages there in Georgia to convince enough people that religious liberty is not at stake here, to oppose this bill in Georgia that would assert religious liberty. And the voters there say, fine, as long as we can think our own thoughts, privately speak our own ideas, and within the confines of our churches express them and act on them, what will have been lost in the state of Georgia?
Well, I mean, I don't know whether any of these wonderful Christians also have Christian schools to which they send their children. But as this goes down the track, as this train goes down the track, I don't think there's much hope for our Christian schools either, because then it will have been decided by this governor and by this kind of legislation that the SOGI legislation is pushing, that in fact our views do amount to bigotry. And I know in our own state of Indiana, for instance, we have a voucher system. I can't imagine a voucher system will survive if we are allowed, if we are painted into a kind of a box by which our beliefs, which are in fact not only biblical and religious, but they're also based on natural law and upon reason. If they are labeled as bigotry, then I think all bets are off as to what professions Christians will be allowed to enter into. Remember, this is the same kind of look to see what we have in Canada. If you don't think this is important, in Canada right now, and with healthcare as it becomes more nationalized, in Canada right now, doctors and nurses are already being coerced into performing and taking part in abortions because the kind of logic is the same. They say, well, abortion is the law of the land, and you have this job, so whatever kind of religious qualms you might have in your heart, well, that you might have the freedom to think what you want, but you must act according to the law and according to do your job. So this is going to it's not going to stop here when it comes to marriage. It's going to affect us in all sorts of ways.
At the beginning, we heard from Governor Nathan Deal. And his statement in the open, I'm going to read it for you again. I'd like your response. He says, I'm a Baptist, and I'm going to get into a little biblical philosophy on my part right now. I think the New Testament teaches us that Jesus reached out to those who were considered the outcasts. I hope that we can all just take a deep breath, recognize that it is important that we protect fundamental religious beliefs, but that we don't have to discriminate against other people in order to do that. And that's the compromise I'm looking for. What's your response to Governor Deal's statement?
Well, I think in some ways it's really, whether it's ignorant or whether it's just mean-spirited towards Christians, I'm not sure which it is, because I know of no Christians who, true Christians, who discriminate against anybody in the LGBTQ community, nor do I know of any Christians who will not show mercy and love to all people. That's what we are called to do. And I always say this to help people understand it is, and of course we all have, this is the kind of patronizing thing is, we all have gay friends and we all know that it can be a struggle for people. I always say, I'll bake you a cake and I'll give you some cake for free. I'll give you a slice and we can share it over coffee, and we can talk about our differences. But when it comes to baking a wedding cake, well, that's something different, because then I'm not talking in the realm of forgiveness anymore. Sin, indeed, is always forgiven, and we forgive sin that's repented. However, this is calling upon Christians to celebrate sin, and that's a completely different thing.
Dr. Peter Scare is Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
By the way, you can meet and speak with Dr. Peter Scare and the other faculty members at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the Prayerfully Consider Campus Visit. It's going to be held March the 31st through the 2nd of April. Now, if you've ever considered the vocation of pastor or deaconess, this is your opportunity. Find out more about Prayerfully Consider at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Teaching the faithful, reaching the lost, and caring for all. Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back on this Monday afternoon, we're going to talk about the resurrection of the believer. Is it enough that a Christian believes that when he dies, his spirit goes to be with Jesus? And then I guess the question would arise, if we're going to talk about the resurrection of the believer, it often does, what will the resurrection body be like? We'll answer those questions with Pastor James Douthwaite right after this.
The 27th Annual Congress on the Lutheran Confessions, sponsored by the ACL and Luther Academy, is April 6th through the 8th in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission will present two seminars. On Tuesday, April 5th, Pastor Rob Jarvis offers an overview of the Reformation and our confessions. On Wednesday, April 6th, Pastor Jeremiah Johnson presents Catechesis Begins in the Home, Practical Ways to Pass on the Faith to Our Children. Learn more at theclcc.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Join us for the third annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 12th and 13th, to benefit the Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. Join us for this fun and informative event featuring over 40 vendors, family activities, prizes and giveaways, and appearances by Fredberg. Recycling services sponsored by MERS Goodwill. Shredding services by Scott Credit Union. Pet adoption services on site. On Saturday, March 12th, KFTK's Rich Orris of Mosby Building Arts and Tony Frisella of Frisella's Nursery will be broadcasting their shows live and taking questions from the audience. Then Sunday, March 13th, is Family Safety Day, featuring professional organizer Terry Capehart, Glennon's Safety Kids Program, with helmets for the first 50 children, a smoke fire simulator from the Edwardsville Fire Department, the Glennon Sports Care Team, and don't forget about Fredberg. Parking and admission are free for the Metro East Home and Garden Show, sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville. Learn more at mehgs.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
God lays out for us in Scripture our need for salvation in the law and the assurance that Jesus has saved us in the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fakencher talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's the way God communicates to us in every page of Scripture, and therefore it's vital that we have been given this gift of history, an understanding of law and gospel, make it a centerpiece in the way we speak law and gospel, the way we speak God's word to people today.
You can meet and hear Dr. Carl Fakencher making the case for law and gospel Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.